And so I just want to continue on a couple of sermons that I've preached of recent times. And if you were here in October, I spoke on the privilege of, of abiding and being seekers of God, to actively pursue Him, to go after God. Remember the verses in the Psalms speaking of a day in the Lord's courts in His presence is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And looking for Him, searching for God, seeking Him, abiding in His sanctuary to see His power and glory, because as the psalmist writes, your loving kindness is better than life. And if you've experienced the loving kindness of the Lord, and if you've spent time in His courts, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to continue on that, the privilege of access. I want to look at the topic today, the privilege of access. Let's come and pray before we come to this word. Lord, we just pray, as we've already spent time in your courts this morning as a people, that as we look intently into your word, as we seek your face, oh Lord, that you might reveal yourself to us. Lord, help me, I pray, to deliver this message. Most of all, I ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come alongside us, to work, to speak through me, and to, Lord, minister to hearts in this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, when you consider the privilege of access, the privilege of fellowship with the living God, it is just beyond words, beyond expression. It's something that is so awesome and majestic to have fellowship with the living God, truly, to abide in Christ, to walk with the living God, to spend time in the courts and in the presence of the Creator of this universe. Jesus Christ has made that access possible. But cast your mind back to the book of Esther. And in Esther chapter 5, we have the queen coming before the king. And if you look at this as a type of approaching the courts of a king, in the book of Esther chapter 5, we understand that there was an awesome dread of her appearing before the king. She was literally, without summons, in danger of losing her life, because you do not approach the king without invitation. Esther wasn't invited. Esther comes, but she knew, as Mordecai set out and commanded Esther. Esther put on her royal robes in Esther 5, and she stood in the inner court of the king's palace. And this is the inner court across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. It's an immense, amazing description. And if you understand also the description of the temple and the inner court and the Holy of Holies, the sanctuary, entering into the presence of God, there are many parallels here. So Esther, she's standing in this place and she's in awe and she's in dread. But she goes in faith. She knew she had to come. And the Bible says that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And so she receives favor. So Esther's able to stand before the king and approach him without fear of her life any longer. Well, Matthew Henry comments on this, and I found this a very poignant expression. Matthew Henry comments, Esther came to a proud, imperious man, but we come to the God of love and grace. She was not called, but we are. The Spirit says come and the bride says come. She had a law against her. We have a promise, many a promise in favor of us. Remember the scriptures, ask and it shall be given you. She had no friend to go with her or to plead for her. On the contrary, he that was then the king's favorite, that's Haman, was her enemy. But we have an advocate with the Father, in whom he's well pleased, that is, God is well pleased in Christ. God is well pleased in his advocate. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, as Pastor stated earlier, as was in our time of worship. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, as was prayed this morning, seeking mercy, seeking help in our time of need. We have access. We of all people are the most privileged people on the face of the globe. We have access. We've been granted access. Not because we came in ourselves, but because we have an advocate with a Father. Because Jesus lives, the book of Hebrews says of Christ, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost. In Hebrews 7:25, those who come to God through him, through Christ, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's a living God. Jesus Christ is alive. I'm alive, spiritually alive, because Christ is alive this morning. Jesus Christ lives. He's the living God. And we come to him in his living sanctuary and he intercedes for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. In our Bible readings this morning, we looked at the heart of the psalmists, the heart of the psalmist who comes and who seeks the face of God. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who is worthy to open the book, to open the seal? Who can come? And the answer is simply those who are in Christ. Those who have an advocate. Those who have, as Esther touched the scepter of the king, have been granted the privilege of access. The privilege of access. Doesn't that give you joy? Doesn't that give you a heart that leaps for joy? Doesn't that put everything else and pales everything else into insignificance? Insignificance. What else matters? What else takes the fore? Access to the Father through Christ. Time in the presence of the living God. You know, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? The psalmist asks. And if we turn back to those two Bible readings, please. Psalm 15 and Psalm 24. Well, let's start at verse 3 of Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Similarly, in Psalm 15, the psalmist says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who has this privilege of access? Which human can go before the living God who made heaven and earth? Which human can come there? Lord, who may abide in it? Who may not only come, but who may stay? Who may abide? Who may dwell? You see the words abiding and dwelling. There's a fellowship, a communion in your holy hill. And then the psalmist writes, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth. And there are a number of things that are descriptive and fruits of that righteousness. You know, it's not because you're holy in yourself. It's not because you've walked uprightly. It's not because you've worked righteousness. It's not because you've spoken truth or not backbited with your tongue that gives you the privilege of access. It's not all those things that have given you because you've been good in yourself that you have access, but it's because Christ the mediator, the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, it's that high priest who has come and granted access as you've accepted him and taken him as your Lord, that he has given you access into that place. And the fruits are listed, therefore. Those fruits that the psalmist writes of. We will walk uprightly. We will work righteousness because we have access. We will speak the truth in our hearts because we have access. We will not backbite with our tongues when we have access, when we are in his courts. Those things will be foreign to us. We will not do evil to our neighbor. We will love our neighbor and we will in fact love those who persecute us because we have the privilege of access. All those things that are listed are fruits. We will not take a reproach up against our friends. We will see vileness. We'll despise vileness because God despises vileness. We will have his heart and mind. And it says he honors those who fear the Lord. And When I consider the wonders of these verses, the wonders of these psalms, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hearts, clean hands and a pure heart. How can you get clean hands and a pure heart? There's only one way. The blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is a fruit. This is a fruit. We come, the privilege of access. We come fearfully. We come with awe. But we come in faith into the courts of the living God. In fact, we come with joy. Those who know Christ can approach the throne of grace. Those who know Jesus Christ can come before the living God and can come into that place with great joy. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? What stops us? The book of Hebrews has much to say on the great high priest, the mediator of the new covenant. You know, the psalmist, just staying in the psalm, Psalm 25:14, says an amazing thing revealed by the Spirit of God again to the psalmist David. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You know, the secret of the Lord, the intimacy of the Lord, the intimacy that you can have, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. This is the new covenant. This is the new covenant that we preach, that we proclaim. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, in the book of Hebrews, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. As Mark prayed this morning, he was man. He was man, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And further in Hebrews 9 and verses 11 and 12, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of his creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. What stops us? What prevents us? What hinders us from this glorious access? From not abiding in this glorious access? From not coming to him in prayer, in the word, in fellowship? Friends, we need to lay hold of, we need to appropriate the privilege of access. We need to take hold of this. We need to spend time with Christ. We need to spend time in his courts. You know, when our conscience or when we fall before God, when we sin, when we grieve the Spirit, it ruins our confidence before God, doesn't it? It ruins our confidence before God. We break fellowship with him from our end as it is. When we sin, when we have a conscience that is pricked, but we are to abide, we are to come back. Remember at our church lunch a few weeks ago, Pastor described how to come back in repentance and confession. A confession with the mouth, it's not only about verbalization, it's a turning of the heart. Repentance is literally a turning. It's a turning of the heart. And the psalmist knew it full well, concentrating a lot on the Psalms of David this morning. He knew it full well, didn't he? How long does it take to repent? How long does it take for Christ to forgive you and yourself get right with God? Well, that's up to you. It's up to you. Because in the instant of your prayer, in the instant of your heart turning, God, Christ, has seen you as if you hadn't sinned against him. He sees you in him. The psalmist knew it full well. Remember, the psalmist repents after Nathan had come to him in Psalm 51. And he had sinned grievously. He had put a man to death. He had adulterated with the wife of this man. And he cries out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Psalm of David, Psalm 51, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And he goes on to say how he acknowledged his sin before the Lord and that he's done this evil in his sight. And then he says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Do not linger in sin. Do not linger in a place where your conscience is marred and pricking you. Make it right before God. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts. Because the psalmist says, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. At the time of this unconfession, at this time of this sin being heavy upon him, he's being crushed. He's being crushed. Because if you're a child of God, God will not let you out of his hands. He's not going to let you run. He's not going to run into the world of sin without you being pricked in your heart. If you're born of his spirit and washed in his blood, he will send his angels after you. He will send the heavenly hosts to come and get you back. And so the psalmist says, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. He's learning to come back into the courts of the Lord. And he sings that beautiful song that we sometimes sing. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. The privilege of presence. The privilege of access. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Can you see his cry? Can you see how we can break fellowship from our end when we have a conscience that is marred, that is pricked, when we have unconfessed sin, when we have sin that is laying heavy on us? We can make right with God. Look at his turn. Look at his turn in verse 12 and verse 13. This always amazed me as I read this psalm. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous or free spirit. And look at verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. This man has just put someone to death and taken and adulterated the wife of this man. How can he talk about sinners? Because he's learnt the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he's learnt that in the time of his repentance and confession, it is as if God has seen him as if he hadn't sinned. That is amazing. That is incredible. He's just confessing. He's just turning. His heart is turned. And then by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, he writes these words, verse 12 and 13, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He gets the privilege of access restored. He sees himself in the courts of the Lord and he says, then I'll teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Friend, it's up to you how quickly you turn. It's up to you. It's up to you. Your lingering in your sin is not going to win you brownie points before God. It's not going to help. It's Christ. It's the appropriation of Christ and his shed blood, the appropriation of his blood, the acceptance of his shed blood. And the sooner we see it, the better. The better we are. He doesn't want us to linger in our sin. Our days of penitence, our wailing, it's not going to... No, he's waiting for heart change. And when that comes and when we grasp it, when we get it, and the sooner the better and the quicker the better, we see the privilege of access. The psalmist writes, the sacrifices of God. It's not about the burnt offering. Oh, I could bring you burnt offering. He's the king. He has all things. David has. He has all things at his disposal. I could bring it. You do not desire sacrifice Else would I give it. You do not delight in burnt offering, but the sacrifices of God, verse 17, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. There's the key. Abiding in the courts of the Lord, abiding in the presence of the Holy One. You will, as David, you will, as a child of God, have this heart. Lord, don't cast me out. Oh God, let my heart be changed. Seek out any sin in me. Look for it. Bring it to the surface, Lord. Any hidden way in me, any hidden agenda. Anything, Lord. Any double-mindedness. And purge me, Lord. Purge me and I shall be clean. This is so key to abiding, to fellowship. Friends, we need to grasp that. The psalmist knew the secret. Grace is available to me. The psalmist needed to come back. He needed to come back. We've got to have confidence in our God. We cannot, you know, by our penitence, by our length of mourning, change the heart of God. It's our acceptance and appropriation of what Christ has done in our place, because God accepts the blood of His own Son. He accepts the blood of His own Son. Who may ascend? It's not how you feel. It's not when you feel good or whether you feel bad. It's not whether you feel holy or whether you feel unclean. No, it's in Christ and it's of Christ. So who? The psalmist says, so who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend? He who is in Christ is the answer. All who are in Christ. You have access to the Father through Jesus the Son. The access is there. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard a very good example of the lawyer and the beggar. I don't know if you've heard the example of the lawyer and the beggar. The lawyer who was a wealthy man who walked in the city streets, and he saw an old friend from school begging there. He was a wealthy lawyer, and he saw a friend from school, from the past, and he said, you know, how did you get here? And this friend is begging. He said, well, I messed up. I went the wrong way, etc., etc. And the lawyer writes him a check for a sum of money and says, here, go, get a new start, get a fresh start. Here, and he signs the check and tells the beggar to go and to get a clean slate, clean start. But a few days later, he comes back and he still sees the man begging there. And he said, friend, didn't I give you a check for a large amount of money? The beggar said, well, I thought if I came into the bank without proper clothes, in my state, disheveled as I am, if I came presenting this check as I am, maybe they'd call the police on me. Maybe they think it's fraudulent or it's stolen. And I didn't go. I didn't cash the check. Here, I've still got it. And the lawyer said to him, friend, what counts is not how you look when you're into that bank. It's not how you're dressed or how you're presented. What's going to make that check work is my signature on the bottom of that check. That's what makes that check right. It's my signature that'll be accepted in the bank, not your state, and not how you feel. And that's the blood of Christ, friend. That's the blood of Christ. He has sealed this sacrifice, this redemption in His blood. And He said, you're acceptable before the Father, not because of how you are or how you've messed up, but because of the signature of the Son. And God accepts His Son. God accepts His Son. Friend, we cannot despise the blood of Christ. How can we despise the blood of Christ? How can we think in our heart that God does not accept His Son? God accepts His Son. And if you are in His Son, He accepts you in the same power, and in the same majesty, in the same awesome joy that He receives His Son That's amazing. That's incredible. Christ came as the high priest with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not with the blood of goats and calves, not with your good works, not with your penitence, but he came with his own blood, and we receive that. We accept that in faith. We receive that in faith. Take it to heart. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. Does he have to keep going back? Is there a need for further sacrifice? No. No more redemptive sacrifice required. He entered it, the Bible says in Hebrews, once and for all. Once and for all. Friends, appropriate the privilege of your access. Appropriate it. As David knew the secret, turn from your sin. Do not boast in yourself, boast in the Lord. There is none more righteous than another here. There is no one better here than any other. Even the Lord Jesus, he was called good. Remember, he was approached and said, good, good master, good and faithful Lord. What must I do to be saved? And he said, do not call anyone good. The Son of God said that. His time had not yet come. The fulfillment, the appropriation, the death on the cross, the resurrection. He says, call no one good. There's none good but the Father. Our boast is in the Lord. Psalm 34:2 says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There is no faith in humankind here, friend. There's no faith. There's confidence alone in the Lord. There's not confidence in yourself, in your goodness, your ability, what you have achieved, where you've got to as a Christian in your walk. It's all in Christ and all of Christ, so that no one is able to boast, as Paul, who had every reason to boast, says, for we are the circumcision in the book of Philippians 3:3-5, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoiced in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. And then he goes on to describe being circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he goes on to talk about the wondrous achievements that should have given him access to God. No, he says he boasted in none of those things. No, he met Jesus Christ. He met Jesus Christ, friend. And when he met Jesus Christ, he realized, there is nothing good in me. I have no reason to boast. And he began to appropriate the privilege of access. Privilege. Without fellowship with the living God, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. Don't try and work your way back into it. You are not going to work your way back into the privilege of access. It comes by grace through faith. Let's go deeper. What's the root cause of failing to come before God's presence? God's people, Christians, churches, people of God. What is the cause, the root cause? Why do people spend so much time in the world in distraction, in worldliness? Why is the church influenced? Why are God's people missing out on the privilege of access? On the privilege of presence. Why do we miss out? Is it distraction in itself? Is it distraction or entertainment, worldly pleasures? That maybe that's an effect, but let's look deeper. Is it an unwillingness to yield? Unwillingness to die for Jesus Christ, as we saw our brother there on the on the clip this morning, the persecuted church. To take up the cross daily, is it our unwillingness? Possibly. Look deeper. Look deeper. You see, because these distractions, vanities, worldly pleasures, they won't mean much to you when you've tasted access. When you've had time in the presence of God, those things will grow strangely dim, won't they? They'll take a back seat. When you have what I'm speaking about, when you spend time with Christ, when you abide in Him, and you have this privilege of spending time in His courts, those things will grow strangely dim. And you know, when you access presence and taste of it, you'll be willing to die for that presence. You'll be willing to die for that presence. Because His loving kindness is better than life itself. You'll understand with the psalmist, His loving kindness is better than life itself. And so whether you live or die, you are the Lord's. And to be with Him is better anyway. So what is it? What's the deep cause of it? And I believe a real key is, and a real cause, is that we as God's people do not believe, do not know, and have not experienced that God is good. That God is good. Now we say it, we coin it, we sing it, but do you know how good God is? And my answer is no, I don't. I do not. I only know in part. God is good. Esther came before a king uninvited. We come to a good God. We come to a good God. God is good, friend. He is faithful. In Christ, He calls you. He's made the check good on your behalf. You can come to a good God. He calls you. He has grafted you in. You are sealed. He has made a covenant with you. Esther had the law against her. Now, in the new covenant, we have the law for us. It is for us in Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. We are accepted in the beloved. Friend, as we see the goodness of God, remember what is written in Scripture, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It's the goodness of God. When you see how good God is and how you fall short and how inadequate we are, like that beggar with all our sin, with all our shame, with all our guilt, we can come. We can come, be accepted in the beloved. God is good and God is faithful. The Bible says that He will in no wise cast any out who come to Him. God is faithful above what we can imagine. He doesn't change. We come to Him on His terms. Remember, it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. Won't you make right with God this morning where you are? As Pastor asked us a few weeks ago at the church lunch, won't you, not just at these times, not just at times like this, not just at times when we come to the Lord's table and we have precious, precious times in remembrance and precious, precious times ahead of that, preparing our hearts. That's our life. That's what Christ wants of our daily walk. Not slipping into and out of this life. Walking in the flesh than walking in the Spirit. On Sundays and times of communion or on prayer meeting. No. We are to walk and abide. This is the privilege, friend, of access. This is the privilege of the inner courts of the Lord. Won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Won't you get down tomorrow morning? Won't you get down on your knees and taste the presence of the Lord and see that He is good, friend? spending time with Him, when I kneel in prayer, and with Thee, my God. Wasn't it Francis Crosby who wrote that hymn? Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord. Won't you walk with Him in the land of the living? He's not a dead God. The Pharisees knew that not. And when they tested Him with many things, He said, you're mistaken. God is God of the living, not of the dead. God is God of the living, not of the dead. There's much in religion around us. There's much in circles, even of Christianity. But friend, what about raw access to God? Privilege of access. Jesus Christ is coming for His church. Jesus Christ is at the door. He stands at the door and knocks, but He is near. His appearing can be at any moment. Jesus Christ is coming for His bride. You men, why stand you gazing? In the same manner Christ was taken from you, in the same manner He will return. Jesus, I believe that, is coming soon. If you spend time in His presence and get His heartbeat, you will know that. If you spend time with Christ in His Word, you will see that. Won't you prepare your hearts? Won't you spend time? This is ever a time, if ever there was in the history of the church, to spend time in the courts of our Lord. There's never been a time like this. Friend, can I encourage you to draw near? That hymn, 357 it is, says, nearer, my God. Heavenly Father, I pray this word may have spoken to at least one here today. Lord, we're all on a journey. We're all Your children seeking Your face. Some of us do it well. Others, Lord, scrape our knees along as we go. But the fact doesn't change, for You do not change. And the covenant in Your blood is sure, immovable. And Lord, we thank You and praise You. We ask, Lord, as we go out, we may see how good You are, and we may see how faithful You are to keep Your word. And so I pray, Lord, part us with Your blessing in Jesus' name.